And good morning, everybody.
Well, our focus today is going to be the purpose of spiritual gifts. We've always heard about spiritual gifts, and it's quite interesting why God gave these spiritual gifts. But I have a question for all of you here after we begin with prayer, because we're going to continue becoming a house of prayer. So let's pray. Father, we are totally at your disposal. We want to be instruments in your hands to do your will. And without you, we can do nothing, because Jesus said that himself as God in the flesh. How little can we do without you? He was totally dependent upon you, Father, and you made it possible that we have the privilege of becoming just like him. And what an honor, and to eventually be married to your son. Your word is so astounding. It's such an epiphany. It's such a revelation. We just are so grateful. And so we just ask you now to teach us as we focus on these spiritual gifts and what they're here for and why you give them to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So anybody have an idea? You hear this word epiphany all the time. Anybody want to give me an idea what an epiphany is? It's kind of like the book of Revelation. You say, you know, you read it and say, wow, what a wake-up call. What a revelation. What an epiphany. And Jesus was giving lots of epiphanies. And we'll see some epiphanies here in the book of Corinthians as well as we continue. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And here's what it says in the first 11 verses. Let's read them and then we'll go through this for deeper understanding. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. Kind of sounds a little bit brutal. I don't want you to be stupid. I mean, ignorant, folks. But there's a good reason why that word ignorant is there. We'll see that in a bit. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by stupid or dumb idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. Why would anybody say that? And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. This will be an epiphany when we understand why. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God works in all of them, in all men. So now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given, through the Spirit, the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge, by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith, by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing, by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, ability to distinguish between spirits, to another, the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each man just as he determines. Very interesting. Let's take a peek. But one of the things about an epiphany, Jesus says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, and I'll just turn there real quick so that we can hear it actually and read it. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And so Jesus Christ is the perfect description. If you want to know what God is like, take a look at Jesus, what he's telling us here. He is the perfect representation. This is an epiphany. It's a revelation, because most people say, well, I know about Jesus. He walked the earth and he was flesh and people could see him and everything, but God, no idea what he's like, because they'd never seen God the Father. And here God's word says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because they are one and the same, and they're of the same mind and everything. So that is an epiphany. It's a revelation from God's Word, because that's where you get epiphanies from. You get them from the Word of God, where you say, oh, now I see. Like Job said in Job 42 and verse 6, I have heard of you before. And he was talking about himself and all the rest of that and all the troubles he was going through. He says, I've heard of you before, but now I see. That was an epiphany to Job when God revealed to him that everything that he was looking at, God had made. And it was a gift. And so over the next 6 weeks from now, we're going to be going through the book of Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, because this book is filled with epiphanies and revelations that God wants us to understand. And it's about how God continues to work. And we need to have the understanding out of the Word of God, because an epiphany that is going to be truthful has to come straight out of the Word. Just like we know how God the Father is like, see Jesus. The Bible says so. So you can trust that. And we'll have all sorts of epiphanies or revelations that God is going to give to us. And that's why it is so important for us to be reading the Word of God daily. Because that's how we have deeper understanding. And that's where these spiritual gifts come from. They come from the Word of God, as we shall see. But we will see how God continues to work in His church. And when you have this epiphany, you say, now I get it. I was always wondering about that, but now I see. Now, as we just read in here, Paul's letter to the Corinthian church deals with a particular problem that the Corinthian church has. Now, you may not know what problem we have as a particular church and so on, but God does. We all have a tendency to have a specific weakness as a church, and we have strengths as a church. You can read that in Revelation 2 and 3, the Ephesus church had strengths, and he that overcomes, I'll grant to me to be sitting on my throne. But all God described each one of these churches, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Philadelphia, Laodicea, in detail, because God knows what's going on in the church, because he knows his son is going to marry the church. So he's paying close attention to what's going on right here in this room, as well as all of those churches in which Jesus Christ lives his life. And so we need to know what God is doing in our congregation as well. And all we need to do is ask. Say, God, you know, he says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Find out in the Word of God. God will tell you what he doesn't want us to do as a church and what he does want us to do as a church. He says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day of Christ's return approaching, in Hebrews 10:28, I think it is, 10:26. But these are revelations. These are epiphanies, because sometimes people just don't have a clue about what that's talking about. And so let's get a little bit of a background about the Corinthian church so that we understand, because we're here in Silicon Valley. This is where you get conned by a whole lot of silly ways. Just kidding. But anyway, Corinth had its cultural complications because of where they were located. And Corinth is, does anybody know what country Corinth is located in? That's right, Greece. And Greece is, I didn't realize until preparing this sermon, that there's actually, you can float a boat all the way through Greece, middle of the country, except for 4 miles until what? It was 1893 when they built the Corinth Canal, which is like the Panama Canal. And so it's only 4 miles. But the way it was in the days of Paul, this hub was where all the ships were coming here, and then they would unload and sell stuff here or ship it over to another ship and then go all the way over to Turkey or down to Palestine and so on. But it was a shortcut, so you didn't have to go all the way around Greece, way down, like you'd have to go around South America, but it's not that far. But it was a direct line to go right through there, through the Gulf of Corinth, and then across that 4 miles that eventually, in 1893, had a canal built. Has anybody been down the Panama Canal and gone through it? Cool, that one is 51 miles long. So quite a bit longer than the Corinth Canal. But the Corinth Canal was built 21 years before the Panama Canal was built. Anyway, interesting. But as a result of this, all these ships were coming in and people from all different nations were coming, and Corinth was kind of like a hub, kind of like L.A. or San Francisco or New York City. You know, it's a very populous place, and cultures from all over the world came in there because they came in on ships, and it was a major hub for selling stuff or a merchant's location and so on. And so this is what Corinth was, which I did not realize until doing some more research about this. But it was located on a little sliver of land between two bodies of water that go through the whole nation of Greece. Now, one thing that's interesting about Corinth and why this had to be addressed is Corinth had a reputation, or a ruptured-tation, however you want to put it. But just like various cities have reputations and so on, but the reputation for Corinth was, even the Roman Empire considered the word Corinthian to be synonymous with immorality, because everybody did what was right in their own eyes and away they went. And it was the Roman Empire's known, quote, city of sin. Interesting. But of course, just about every city is, well, all cities are cities of sin for that matter, because you got people there. But it was also a city of a lot of wealth, because that's where all the money came in to produce the sales and the deals that went through, and all the ships that were loaded with goods that were coming from various countries. And the main issue that Paul was having is the church's continual attachment to the surrounding culture, because all these different cultures brought in all different kinds of religions that were there. That's why he's talking about, I do not want you to be ignorant, because if there's any one thing that the people of Corinth thought that they were, since they grew up in this environment, is they were the more intelligent people. And so Paul had to be very tactful, but he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. Now that's kind of a slam in a way, but then again, it was a wake-up call or an epiphany for him to even say that. I don't want you to be ignorant. Well, how can I be ignorant? I'm in Corinth. I live in New York City. I would make $200,000, $300,000 a year. How can I be ignorant? But that's the way Paul starts it out here. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, because things go on behind the scenes that most people don't realize. And Paul was not speaking of his own will. He was speaking as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so the Word of God does not come from men. It comes from God. And that's important to understand. And so we need to take a look at our circumstances to make sure that we don't end up compromising our relationship with God because of our cultural acceptations or norms and so on. Because God wants to make sure, what is the first and great commandment? Anybody know that? That's right. Love God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and being. And then second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. And all those things are impossible unless you have the Holy Spirit. But that's another story later. But there are certain cultural expectations we have today, and those are changing because there's different social medias that are there. Facebook was such a popular thing for years and years here in the United States for the last 15, 20 years. But now they're coming up with robots because they don't have as many users on Facebook so that they can keep their stats up, which is quite fascinating. But it's a norm. People are so used to Facebook because it came on the scene and it was a big hit. And there's TikTok, and then there's Instagram, and all sorts of different things like this that keep you very monopolized and interested and consumed and caught up in the culture around us. And that doesn't have to be bad. It's just a matter of whether it takes precedence over God. And that's what Paul is wanting to make sure, because in our society today, we have all these social medias, we have TV, we have movies, we have shopping malls and so forth. And that's what they were doing in Corinth. They went shopping because that's where all the stuff came into this hub of places to buy stuff, like malls today. And so we need to ask ourselves, Are we willing to listen to what Paul told them 2,000 years ago and see if there's any application to us today? And so that's why he begins out by saying, I do not want you to be uninformed or ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Now, why would he say mute idols? Because if there's any one thing that people who are highly intelligent, they've got the gift of being able to speak effectively and so forth. And here you're worshiping things they don't even know how to talk. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. he didn't say that. But then he says, no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. Now, how does that fit in here? Why would somebody say, Jesus be cursed? And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. And so this is very important to understand, because sometimes it's difficult for people who are super intelligent to listen, because they think, I already know. One of the things that we have to be careful about is say, well, I've already read the Bible 3 or 4 times. I mean, why do I need to keep reading it again and again and again and again and so on? Satan puts these thoughts in our mind and they make sense to us if we allow ourselves to think that way. And that's what this is talking about here. I don't want you to be ignorant or uninformed, because it was difficult for them to hear that they might not have their act together like they thought they did. And we can fall into that same trap where we think we've got our act together just because we haven't killed anybody and we're not in jail, so we have to be pretty cool. And you ask the average, how do you consider yourself a good person? Oh, yeah, I'm a good person, and so on. But they don't read the Scripture. What does the Scripture say? There's none righteous, no, not even one. What? How do you wrap your mind around that? But we need to understand what God is saying, and he wants us to see things from his perspective, because he can't have somebody in his kingdom reigning with him over the entire earth that thinks they know everything. The very beginning of the model prayer is, Our Father who art in heaven, your will be done, your kingdom come, and so on. And it's all about him. And so in Corinth, these people in general were very proud of their knowledge. And many in our city today have master's degrees, there's doctorate degrees and everything else, and they've studied for years and years, and they are very, very highly intelligent. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that, depending upon how you put that in perspective to God. Because God says, he that thinks he knows something, what? Knows nothing, like they need to know it. That's God's perspective. That's not man's perspective. Because in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1 says, this knowledge, he talks about this in the previous chapter, verse 1, knowledge puffs up. That's interesting. That's an epiphany. Knowledge puffs up. That means you just get inflated and you think you know everything. Could any of us fit into that category? I have to look in the mirror just like you do. And we need to be aware of that. That's why God says, to this man will I look, to him that is humble and contrite and trembles at my word, not their own intelligence. Something to keep in mind and to be aware of. And this is, Paul is speaking to the Corinthians, who were in a very high-class city of Corinth, where all the merchants came to sell all their goods. And so we might find it a little bit difficult to accept correction that was given 2,000 years ago to ourselves, but that's why we need to be humble and contrite and tremble at God's word, because Jesus Christ is speaking to us, and this was written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. It was not written for them back then. I mean, it was beneficial, but they died in less than 70 or 80 years after that. But we're being the recipients of the word of God, where the King James Version was printed in what, 1620, 1600 years after that time. They had it, but it was challenging. So Paul was reminding them of something that they should know, and namely that they were being influenced and led astray by dead idols or mute idols or idols that couldn't even speak. In case you think you're really intelligent, that's not very smart when you think about it. But then when you understand what's going on behind the scenes and how Satan can produce miracles and do all sorts of things and make things look a different way than it really is, because Satan has deceived the whole world, Revelation 12 and verse 9. And when Satan deceives somebody, they don't know they're deceived or they wouldn't be deceived. Does that make sense? And so Paul finds this subtle way of pointing out to them that they may be doing the same things now as we might be doing today. But here's the problem in Corinth, and we won't get into this until later on, but the next two chapters from now, the Corinthians were exalting something. It's called speaking in tongues. This was a big wingding, speaking in tongue, being able to speak multiple languages. Oh, you are really amazing. You can speak two languages, three languages. Some people I know can speak five languages. They must be really, well, I mean, they're a lot smarter than I am because I speak one language and I can speak a little bit of another language, at least to be able to get to the bathroom and ask somebody for some food in that other language. The problem here that Paul is helping the Corinthians to see is that the Corinthians were more interested in these spiritual gifts because it made them special and exalted, and I can do this and I can do that, and you know, instead of something that I never saw until yesterday when I was working on this. It was just astounding what is in here, and it's very obvious if you count the number of times that this one word is used in these 11 verses. But we'll get to that in a moment. But the content of one's speech didn't seem to matter as much as the delivery did to them. Is that anything today? A lot of people turn into the radio or whatever to hear some eloquent speaker, maybe never opens his Bible or whatever, but he can sure entertain you up one side and down the other. Well, that's what was happening in Corinth. They got all caught up in what these gifts were. And somebody has this gift and this ability to be able to do something, say, wow, and so on. And they were impressed by the talent or the gift and so on. And we need to realize that is not what we need to focus on, because those talents came from a source that we're going to see very clearly right here. And so here he zooms into, notice what he says, verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works in all of them, in all men. Now notice the focus where it goes to. And now let's see it six more times. Watch this. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. The whole focus, he wants them to get their minds off of the gifts and onto the source of the gifts. Just a little twist can get you way off track, because there are so many churches that are built around one specific gift, because that what makes you righteous. And so plainly says that's not what it's about. It's not about speaking in tongues. It's about what we're seeing right here. The same God works in all of them, in all men. We have access to all of these gifts through the Spirit. Now to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now we know what the purpose is. We'll find out more about what the common good is at the end of the sermon. But at least he tells us what that is. That's what he's giving these gifts for, is for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. It's through the Spirit. Again, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same what? Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers and so on between, and the ability to distinguish between the spirits, because there's two major different types of spirit. Does anybody know what the second alternative spirit is? Yeah. Satan, the devil, is that spirit. I mean, the spirit that now works in the spirit of disobedience, because Satan is constantly, he has access. He puts thoughts in our minds, the fiery darts of the wicked one, our thoughts that he puts into our minds. And before you know it, you can be led astray and you think you're on top of the world. Think, oh, I know what I'm doing, you know, and you are taken to the cleaners. There's a way that seems right to a man. The ends thereof are the ways of death. That's the word of God. That's why we need to remember the whole, Paul is saying, get your mind off of the gifts. Get your mind on the gift giver, because that's what is important. And he can give you whatever gift he wants to give to you. But don't get so caught up in that gift that you forget who the giver was, and all the glory needs to go to the giver. That's what we need to understand. He says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each man just as he determines. And so Paul is helping the Corinthian church to get their mind off of this thing that was blown way out of proportion about speaking in tongues. I already got this together because I lived in this country and then I learned how to speak this one and I learned how to speak this language and I can speak three or four languages, and try that on for size. See if you can do that. But that's the thing that we have to be very careful, that a lot of times people get caught up in somebody that is an outstanding speaker on radio or whatever, and they just follow that person and so on. And the thing, there's nothing wrong with listening to somebody, but there's some things you need to make sure of, and that is to make sure that that person is not leaving Jesus Christ out of the, or the Word of God out of the whole process. And if they're just telling stories after stories, which is fine, but the focus should be on Jesus Christ. It's on God and the Holy Spirit, because that is what God is looking for. He needs to make sure we are fixing our eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that's what he's telling them here. The Spirit did this. The Spirit is providing this. The Spirit is doing this because God gave the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. In Acts 2:38, and the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to be able to have epiphanies or revelations or understandings that you would never have otherwise. I talk to people frequently, and I show them the scriptures, and they don't get it. And I'll explain it, and it's clear as a bell. They can't get it. Without the Holy Spirit, it just goes in one ear and out the other, and they don't get it. It's a miracle when you understand the Word of God the way that God designed it to be understood. It's a miracle. And God provides, that's what he's talking here. You know, don't get all caught up in this and say, well, because I can do this and I've got wisdom, because you went and you've got a doctorate and you've got a 3 doctorates, so you must be really smart. Now, you may be smart, but you could be a smart aleck and not realize you're not as smart as you think you are, because God is not in the picture. But God has to be the focus. And so when it says here, therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. Now, how is Jesus going to be cursed? Well, a lot of times people just take his name in vain, but that could be part of what he's talking about here. But when you leave Jesus Christ out of the picture, when you leave the Word of God out of it, and it's all entertainment, and that's all that it is, and you're trying to get a big following through your ability to be able to speak, and they say, well, I just love to listen. I remember when I was growing up, I loved listening to Garner Dunn Armstrong. He was just fun to listen to because he was entertaining and so forth. But we won't go into there what was really going on behind the scenes. But God knew, and God takes care of all of those things. But we need to be careful that we don't get caught up with our eyes fixed on any human. Any human. Humans, even Jesus says, I do not anything by myself. He says, my Father who is in me, he does the works. So Jesus was God in the flesh, and he was still teaching us a lesson that he needed to look to the Father to do the miracles. And we need to look to Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, and the Holy Spirit, because the Father, Son, and the Spirit are one. Now I want to show you something else here I never saw. This is astounding. But notice this. Verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. So there's the first is the focus on gifts. There's different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Now here you first, the honor is given to the Holy Spirit, and then second, the honor is given to Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. And there are different kinds of workings, but the same God works in all of them, in all men. So the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Paul is referring to all three, but they are together in one. But he differentiates by saying the different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, the different kinds of service, but the same Lord, because Jesus Christ came down and he served. He laid down his life for us. And the Holy Spirit is the source of the gifts. We read that all the way through here. And then finally, he says, there are different kinds of workings, but the same God works in all of them, in all men, because God is working behind the scenes 24/7. And here the honor is given to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, each doing their various responsibilities. The Holy Spirit gives the gifts. Jesus Christ provided the service to us to come down and pay the penalty for all of our sins. And the Father is the one who is working behind the scenes in every single person's life, even those that are not yet converted. He's still working in their lives. They're learning that sin sucks. And sometimes they have to learn the hard way. But it just shows that the whole focus needs to be on God, not what we have from God that makes us special. Because God is the one who's special, and we are instruments. An instrument is wonderful, but the glory goes to God, because you can have an instrument and you can have it over in the corner and so on, but if you don't know how to play it, it can do you a whole lot of good. And God is the one that plays you as the instrument, and he gets the glory because he's the one that knows how to play you, whether you're a guitar or a violin or whatever it may be. And so sometimes we get caught up in things like various talents or speaking in different languages and end up pushing Jesus aside in favor of some program or idea or technique. But in effect, we're denouncing Jesus Christ as the Word, because he's left out of the picture, because we're caught up in something that we think is really important when it's not going to make any difference when you die. When you die, you have to have that relationship with God if you're going to be a part of that first resurrection. That's the only way it works, because God isn't going to come back and change you into spirit if he can't trust you to be a part of the body of Christ that is going to do exactly what the head commands him to do. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. We are the body of the church. And he wants to make sure that the body is going to respond to the head by being obedient to everything that the head, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, commands us to do. And so that's how Jesus can be cursed. Nobody comes and curses. When you are cursed, you're left out of the picture. And if Jesus Christ is left out of the picture, then you are telling Jesus Christ to take a long walk on a short pier. Let's take a look at another scripture that is very powerful. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. Hold your finger here, because we'll be coming back. In Isaiah 55 and verse 11, notice this. I'll start in verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. You know, when it rains, things grow. We've had some rain here not too long ago, and I know my front lawn is green as can be, and everything is just growing like crazy, because rain makes a big difference. When you don't get rain, things die unless you keep watering like crazy and so on. But notice what it goes on to say. So, verse 11, is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. When God does his work through us, it's not going to be fruitless. It's going to be fruitful. It's going to produce results, because God is the one that is working in us, and we need to ask him to work his will in our lives so that we can be accomplishing what he wants. He says, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Because God is looking for changed lives. He wants us to be changing. That's why at the end of every one of the churches in Revelation, it says, to him that overcomes. What is overcoming? It's repenting. It's changing. We need to be repenting daily. Paul said, I die daily. It's a process of changing and asking God to change us so that we become more like Jesus Christ day in and day out. And go on, it says in verse 12, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. Because when you build a relationship with God, he's going to give you his joy. He's going to give you led forth in his peace. He says, my peace I give to you. We don't have peace on our own, not good peace. We have, sometimes our peace goes to pieces. But his peace gives us peace even when all hell is breaking loose because we trust God. And we have to ask God for that. Ask and seek it in the Bible. And knock on the door. Jesus says, I am the door. That's all focusing on Jesus Christ. And he says, you will go out in joy. You will be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you. Because you're going to see God working in your life when you ask him to, and you are seeking his will, and you are getting yourself out of the way and dying to yourself and so on, but living to Jesus Christ and to accomplish his purpose in your life. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. And I know what a thorn bush is like because I went out and when I was golfing and I went into some thorn to get my golf ball, and one of those thorns caught my arm and it ripped down my arm, and then it got poison oak in there on top of it. So I had a nightmare there for about a month or so. But it says, instead of the thorn bush, you will grow a pine tree. I sure wish a pine tree was there instead of those thorn bushes. And instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. Now, I didn't know how my Aunt Myrtle got in there. She's been gone for a while. No, the myrtle tree or a myrtle plant is a healthy flowering plant that fights disease. It's a very powerful disease-fighting plant, which I had no idea, but I looked it up and it says the myrtle, it's a flowering plant. And this will be for the Lord's glory or Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. In other words, God is going to pave the way for you. He's going to open doors for you that nobody else can open. And he's going to close doors that nobody can close so that you can be focusing on fulfilling his will just like Jesus Christ did. When he came to this earth, he came here to fulfill the will of the Father. He gave that opportunity to us when we were baptized to bury ourselves in that watery grave representing the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like rivers of living water. And so on. And that Holy Spirit is what God wants us to be using rather than our own talents and stuff like that. He can use them, but the glory goes to the Holy Spirit, who is God. And now, as we conclude, I want us to notice in 1 Corinthians 1 here. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 1 in verse 4. Notice what it says here. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge. All those things that were described here, these gifts of the Spirit, they are from God. They're not from us. They're from God. So important to realize. Because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift. If you need it, God's going to give it to you. That is amazing. As you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. And so we have nothing to complain about. God says, I will supply all your need. Now, we may want to be able to speak in 3 or 5 languages and so on, but do we need to? Think God says, I will supply all your needs and so on. So we just need to see what God is giving to us. What are we supposed to do with it? And that's the final thing that we need to see. And that's here in verses 7 through 11 of 1 Corinthians 12. He says, To each of them, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. This message of wisdom, knowledge, all by the same Spirit, faith by the same Spirit, all these, we need God's faith. Our faith isn't worth a plug nickel. I mean, it's better than having no faith at all, but it falls short. Because if something hits you between the eyes, you say, I wonder where God was now. But God's faith is you say, God, I know you'll deliver me out of all of my afflictions. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're right there with me. And so that's what God wants us to be aware of. All these, verse 11, are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each man just as he determines, because what he's looking for is that common good. And what is that common good? And that is to get our minds off of the gifts and on serving. Whatever gift God has given you, share it with others. Share it with others. Because each of us has been given various gifts and so on. If you're not sure what your gift is, ask somebody, well, what do you see how God might be working in my life or whatever? Or even better yet, ask God to show you what gifts he's given to you and to make it clear to you. And never doubt it for a minute, because he has already given you, because he can't lie. He says he's given these gifts to each one of us. And what's interesting is, notice which one is the last one that is mentioned here. And he says in verse 10, and to speak in different kinds of tongues. I wonder why Paul waited and put tongues last on the agenda. Because that's what some put first on the agenda. And it's not what it's all about. Because speaking in tongues doesn't change anybody. It's the word that is in that language that people understand. When you have the word of God embedded into somebody else because you've spoken it, it may just be a seed that is sown there, but it begins to grow because the Holy Spirit will cause that seed to begin to grow in that person's mind. And you may not even be around. You sowed a seed. Maybe you shared an example of how God performed a miracle in your life. These are the things that God wants us to understand. The common good is to help others. Jesus Christ came here to save the world from sin. And we are here to follow suit, is to help others, to become servants like he was. Like we read here about Jesus, he says, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. That was talking about Jesus. He was a servant. And if we're going to become his body, we need to become those servants and so on. Let's be asking God to show us how we can share these gifts that he's given to us and not focus on what we have, but focus on what God has given to us so that all the glory goes to God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you very much that you've given us everything. And the future is even far beyond what we are enjoying right now. Can't even compare with the glory that's going to be revealed into us. And you're the giver of it all. And Father, we want to be givers just like you are, to share with others what you've given to us, your word and your encouragement, your joy, your peace, your patience, your love, your gentleness, your meekness. God, help us to give that to freely to others as you have given it to us so freely. Father, we just thank you for being so good to us. And we just ask this blessing on each of us as we go from here to help us to learn from these lessons that the Corinthians had to learn, just like we need to learn today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.